Paramahamsa, Puri, Vrajakacharya, Aksutara, Shatta, Sri, Srimadhi, Divine Grace, Abhay, Charna, Vindavati, Vedanta, Swami, Prabhupati, Anantakoti, Vaishnava, Vrindaki, Namacharya, Srila, Haridas, Dakurki, Prem Sekaho, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nichananda, Shirvaita, Gadadar, Srivasadi, Gauravakta, Vrindaki, Sri, Sri Radha, Krishna, Gopa, Gopinacha, Makunda, Radha, Kunda, Giri, Govardhanki, Sri Vrindavan, Damki, Sri Gangamayaki, Sri Jamuna Maiki, Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharaniki, the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupati, the Lordship Sri Sri Radhasham Sundarki, the Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaramki, the Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitaki, the Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishinga Devki, Iskandu Raman Reti Damki, Ute Gaul Primananda, Purushottam Maski, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the Lotus Feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a car key. If anyone missing it, yeah, you can come up here and get it. That's option two, option one. Just give $100 donation in the hundi box. Okay. So, before I get started, I know there have been a lot of information shared about this special month, Purushottam Mass, and seeing it today is the beginning, I'll say a little something about it also, also as requested to. So, anyway, in devotional service, we understand that regardless of time, place, and circumstance, day, or whatever, we perform devotional service and the transcendental benefits are there. So it doesn't matter what situation, what place, what time. So then what is so different about Purushottam month? What's so different about that? You know? That's one thing that, you know, I argue about. Well, what is the difference? It's still a day, we still perform. I know my wife told me that I like to argue. I never win, but I like to argue. So I always like to argue about these points. When things like this come up, I would argue about it, at least sometimes to myself, and many times I get confused too. But anyway, with this month, what is so different about it, we can try to understand. So, actually, this month starts, the special Purushottam month starts from today, October 18th, and goes through, September 18th, and goes through to October 16th. So, according to the astrological calculations, every 36 months, there's some extra time, and that what forms this Purushottam month. So, according to the karma kandis or fruitive workers, you know, they perform their puja and so forth to get some material benefits. Everyone performs, that's the normal thing, they perform to get some material benefits. So the reason for that is because they are bound in this material world, all the activities, so all the days of the year that are there confined in this material world, it's there and they perform their activities and get some material benefits. So, with this calculation from the astrological point of view, it encompasses so much time. But after once in every 36 months, due to the time lapse or time calculation, this extra month is there. So, because that's out of the realm of the karma kandis, whenever they perform activities in that month, they don't get their material benefits. There are no benefits offered. So therefore, they call this month the Malamas, or dirty, filthy month. It's like rejected. They don't care for it. They don't perform any activities. They don't want it. They don't want to hear about it. So this is the Purushottam Mass. So just like in the Bhagavatam, which we're working on this chapter, Kunti Devi says that only the materially impoverished can understand you fully, can take to your service. So similarly, this rejected month is directly accepted by the Lord and named after the Lord. So the Lord's name is Bhava Grahi Janardana, that he accepts the mood and the worship and the special instances of the devotee due to the devotee's desire. So because it's just rejected and there are no material benefits offered within that month, so therefore, whatever spiritual activities one performs, the benefit escalates. Because as we all know, in Gaurav Kishordas, Babaji also talks about this, that whenever we perform spiritual activities, devotional service, there are side benefits. Like whenever you're watering the plant, the Bhakti Lata beach of devotional service, other weeds grow, you get some material benefits, all sprouts up together with the Bhakti Lata beach. But in this month, that doesn't happen. The material benefits doesn't come. So which means the sprout of devotional service of this Bhakti Lata grows very nicely and much faster. Just imagine, take the example of you climbing a ladder and you have a 50-pound bag weight on your shoulder and there's so many obstacles around, it's going to be much more difficult, isn't it? But if you're climbing without any weight, you're going to go much faster. You can go to greater heights, you can achieve more. So from let's say, an argumentative or a logical point of view, this is how we can understand Purushottam month, because no material benefits are offered. That's what makes it so different from any other day of the year or any other month of the year, because there are no material benefits offered. So whatever you perform, the Lord is personally there with you and he gives so much benefits. You get so much more benefits. Your benefits is actually escalated, some places said up to 1,000 times. So that's a benefit, one of the benefits of performing and this Purushottam Mass. And also there are several quotes from the Skanda and the Padma Purans about Purushottam Mass. I'd probably just read a few of them. Also, one reason why it's called Purushottam out of all the names of Krishna is because it directly relates to Purushottam Kshetra, the Lord Jagannath. So it's recommended that in this month, if one chants the Jagannath Ashtaka, then there are so much more benefits. Also, that comes from there. So here Krishna says in the Padma Puran that Purushottam month has all the power I have to bless its observer. One who follows Purushottam Vrata will destroy all his past sinful reactions. Without performing Purushottam Vrata, one cannot perform pure devotional service. The value of Purushottam month is far more valuable than all other types of austerities and religious activities mentioned in the Vedas. Anyone who observes Purushottam Vrata will return to Maya Bodh Goloka at the end of his life. And here's what Durvasa Muni has to say. One becomes sinless just by bathing in a holy river during Purushottam month. The glory of all other months is not equal to 1/16 of the glory of the Purushottam month. Bathing in a holy place, giving charity, and chanting the holy names of Krishna during Purushottam month destroys all miseries, awards all kinds of perfections, and fulfills all desires. And here is Valmiki Muni. Observing Purushottam Vrata brings more benefit than performing 100 horse sacrifices. All holy places live within the body of an observer of the Purushottam month Vrata. And lastly, one by Narad Muni. Purushottam month is the best of all months, vratas and austerities. Just by faithfully hearing the glories of Purushottam month, one attains Krishna Bhakti and immediately nullifies his sinful reactions. One who performs Purushottam Vrata properly will attain unlimited piety and spiritual merit and go to the spiritual world. Anyway, so there are a lot more here. One of the injunctions here that especially in this month, if one can be dumb to their mind, don't listen or don't respond to their mind's demands, take that austerity, and don't offend any devotees, don't criticize anyone, then there's so much more benefits. So these are just a few. There are much more that can be read upon. So we'll get into today's verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti. Text 45. Tambadram ityu pamantriya pravisya gajasavayam sriyascha swaparam yasyan. Premna rajna nivartitaha Tambadram mityupamantriya pravisya gajasavayam sriyascha swapuran yasyan premna rajna nivartita. Tambadamichupamantriya pravisya gajasavayam sriyascha swapuram yasyan premna rajna nivarita. Please chant. Tambadamichupamantriya pravisya gajasavayam sriyascha swapuram yasyam prema rajya nivarita. Tambadam ityupamantra pravisya gajasavayam sriyascha swapuram yasyam prena rajna nivarita. Tambadam ityupamantriya pravisya gajasavayam sriyascha swaparam yasyam prema rajna nivarita. Pravishya Gajasavayam Sriya Chaswapuram Yasyam Prena Rajna Nibarita Tan, all those. Badam, accepted. Iti, thus. Upamantriya, subsequently informed. Pravisya, enterum. Gajasavayam, the palace of Hastinapur. Striyaha, cha, other ladies. Swapuram, own residence. Yasyan, while starting for. Premna, with love. Rajna, by the king. Nivaritaha, stop. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Thus, accepting the prayers of Srimati Kunti Devi, the Lord subsequently informed other ladies of his departure by entering the palace of Hastinapur. But upon preparing to leave, he was stopped by King Yudhisthira, who implored him lovingly. Purport. No one could make Lord Krishna stay at Hastinapur when he decided to start for Dwarka. But the simple request of King Yudhisthira that the Lord remain there for a few days more was immediately effective. This signifies that the power of King Yudhisthira was loving affection, which the Lord could not deny. The Almighty God is thus conquered only by loving service and nothing else. He is fully independent in all his dealings, but he voluntarily accepts obligations by the loving affection of his pure devotee. Om again, Timurandasya, Gyanajana, Shalakaya, Chakshur, Nirtani, Matasmai, Shigatya, Amam Vishnupada, Krishna Prashta, Dutale, Shimati, Shilapeva, Upadu, Shimami, Sri Sri Vinatavi, Vira, Pada, Padbanka, Jadai, Nirpuru, Padam, Badai, Namah, Shivar, Bhavi, Namam Vishnupada, Krishna Prashta, Dutale, Shimati, Bhakti, Vedanta, Samhiti, Namah, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sinabhaj Paschakirishkarane. So, in this chapter so far, we found that Krishna is there in Hastinapur and Kunti surrounded by all her family members from her husband's side. Was there, and throughout this chapter she offered wonderful, very, very wonderful prayers. Prayers that are enough to take us back home, back to Godhead. If we just repeat these prayers or study them and live by them, it's enough. So they're very, very wonderful prayers. And it's described, I think it's in the 17th verse, that she was there surrounded by all her family members, her children, and everyone else. So, and she herself implored Maharaj Yudhisthira, Lord Krishna. She asked him to stay. She have all these different wonderful prayers. And we understand, you can imagine, Arjuna was also there, his dear friend. There's so many others are there, very loving and close to Lord Krishna, who naturally would request him to stay on more. So, after Kunti Devi mentioned all these prayers, she prayed so fervently to Lord Krishna. What did Krishna do? Throughout these prayers, Lord Krishna simply looked at her and he smiled. And it's described that that smile is as enchanting as his mystic power. And after that, what he did? He just walked away. He came to offer his last respects to the ladies and the other residences in the palace and was preparing to leave. So with all this request and all this affection shown by Kunti Devi draw this chapter and all your members, that didn't stop Lord Krishna from when he decided to leave. He didn't even respond to Kunti Devi. He just looked at her and smiled lovingly. That's all. And then he walked away. But then when he was stopped and implored by Maharaj Yudhisthira, what did he do? He complied. So this raises a question. Again, I argue this with myself, that what's the difference? You know, why so many prayers that Kunti Devi offered, so many loving affection? Kunti was his aunt, his senior. She's a woman. Generally, when a woman implores you, you kind of are, you know, you subject to it more. But that didn't do it. But when Maharaj Yudhisthira approached, he immediately complied. So from a materialistic point of view, we can say, well, you know, maybe he doesn't care for women so much. Oh, Maharaj Yudhisthira is a big king, so I'll submit, you know. Like sometimes what we see in the material world, and somebody big comes, we immediately try to submit and offer service and give as much as you can. But no, Srila Prabhupada explains here that there's something different. There's something special about Maharaj Yudhisthira. So this quality of a devotee is what is so very important to attract the attention of the Lord. So according to the dictionary, this word implore means an earnest and desperate beg for someone to do something. That's what the dictionary says. So you're earnestly and desperately begging the Lord, please stay. So he was imploring, you know, not only asking the Lord, but he was imploring in a very, very deep spiritual and sincere way. So when I read this, I remembered a song that before I became a devotee, I used to like this song. That this guy was imploring his lover not to go, saying that as soon as you walk out that door, I'll miss you. Please, please don't go. Please don't go away. Just stay. So this is what Maharaj Yudhisthira is doing here. So what makes him so qualified that he attracts the attention and make the Lord comply to his request? That's a big question. What makes him act in that way? What makes the Lord reciprocate in that way? So Srila Prabhupada explains in the first verse, mantra 1 of the Nectar of Devotion, that Krishna is so attractive that he attracts even the mind of Cupid. He conquers. So therefore he is called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. But Srimati Radharani is so much more attractive that she even attracts Krishna. So therefore she is called Madan Mohan Mohini, the attractor of Cupid. So that's her level of attraction due to her devotional qualities that she becomes so attractive and so attractive. Krishna becomes so attracted to her. So devotees are under the direct care of Srimati Radharani. So anyone who is in Srimati Radharani's camp, they also develop the quality of being able to attract the attention of Lord Krishna, to attract Krishna. So that is the quality of an advanced devotee, that he's completely in service of Srimati Radharani. Just like you have, let's say you have an army fighting a war, and this army wins. It wins mainly because of the good leader that they have. So, but not the leader alone gets the benefit. The entire army gets the fame and benefit of winning that war. So, because Radharani recommends those in her camp to Krishna, then Krishna accepts. So when Radharani wins, Radharani is able to conquer Krishna, then everyone who is in Radharani's camp, all of the Vaishnava devotees, all the devotees, are also able to conquer Krishna. So because of that, Krishna doesn't give himself easily. For the karmis, he gives very easily. For others, he gives very easily. But devotion service to himself is much more difficult. Many times we question ourselves that, you know, why it's so difficult. Because when you engage in devotional service, then you can develop the ability to capture Krishna. So for Krishna to be controlled by you, then that can put him in a bad position. So unless you're very qualified, he doesn't allow you to be in that control. So he doesn't offer himself so easily in devotional service. So what does the devotee do? The devotee performs his activities. So to understand this, let's take the example and the activities of a spider. When a spider is hungry and the spider wants to perform their activities, what do? They don't go out and search for anything. They don't go hunting around. What do? They spin their web. We see that every day, especially in Alachua. Every morning almost I run into it. They spin their web, and whatever insect or bugs come there, they capture that object. So similarly, a devotee spins his web of affection, that whoever comes into his grasp, he tries to make sure that they don't go away. He gives them love and affection and traps them lovingly in service. Typical example of Srila Prabhupada, what he did. Guruprasad Swami told us in a small circle one time how he was a soldier in the army and was there at the airport. All the devotees were behind, the soldiers have a priority to be in front. They're all standing, and there Srila Prabhupada was coming in from the plane. And as soon as he saw this personality, so effulgent, he got immediately captured by him and he offered obeisances. And all the other soldiers looked around, what's wrong with you? And he never knew anything about devotional service, never ever. He just automatically, you know, offered full dandavats. And when he got up and stood up straight, again like the other soldiers, and Srila Prabhupada passed, then he saw all the devotees, all Prabhupada's followers are doing the same thing. And then he started asking, what did I just do? What are they doing? And then he came in contact with the devotees. So that's the power and the affection. And once my Guru Maharaj, Prabhu, he was giving a class in LA. And the BBT, the Spanish BBT, is right there. So whenever he gives classes, whatever he says, he always likes to pinpoint the book, the page, the chapter, the page, the paragraph, and the sentence. He shows you, well, this is what I'm saying. I'm not concocting anything. Even when he talked to me, he would say, you don't have to take what I'm saying, and he would indicate where it's at. So anyway, so in the middle of the class, he went down to the BBT to get a book to show them the reference. And when he went there, somebody called in and he answered the phone. So then he started talking to this person and he convinced him of Krishna consciousness. And then he came back 3 hours after to continue the class. And the devotees were still sitting there waiting. Yeah. Shortly after he took initiation from him. So that's the network that a devotee, you know, prepares. I know with me also was the same thing, you know. The first time I met him was 7 o'clock in the morning. He was supposed to come down to greet the deity and give the class, and his flight was 10 o'clock. And we sat there. He didn't come down for the class. He didn't. He took prasadam right there, and for 3 hours we talked, and then he left for the airport. And that really kept us together from there on. So in many ways, Srila Prabhupada, you know, captured so many devotees by just his vision, his words, his atmosphere. So what a devotee does is that he prepares his life to share his love and affection with other devotees. And that's what this web is all about. He prepares himself. He extends that not only with family he shows affection and concern for, but he spreads that out. As one becomes more and more advanced, then he's able to spread that net wider and wider. And he's prepared that whoever comes in his grasp, whoever comes, he's prepared to take care of them. He's prepared to offer them love and affection. So that's one of the qualities of Maharaj Yudhisthira, that he was totally selfless. One of his names is Ajatashatru, one who is born without an enemy. And he was always very worshipful to all of Krishna's devotees also, especially Prahlad Maharaj. He always used to glorify the activities and worship Prahlad Maharaj. So Krishna says in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, he said, Mad Bhaktya Puja Adhika. Puja Vyadika. Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika. That appears in the 11th canto, 19th, 21 verse. That whoever worships my devotee is a great person. Whoever worships my That the worship of my devotee is better than worship of myself. Then also in the Adi Puran, Krishna told Arjuna, Yo me bhakta jana parta, na me bhaktas chate jana, mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhaktatam amata. Said, those who claim to be my direct devotees are actually not my devotees. But those who are the devotees of my servants, my pure devotees, are factually my devotees. Then Lord Shiva also said a similar thing in the Padma Puran. He told his wife, which is repeated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 11:31, that said the highest worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. What higher than that worship, he was telling his wife Parvati, that higher than that worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu's devotees. So anyone who performs and have that attitude, that is actually a Uttama Adhikari. Like in 11th canto chapters, 11th chapter actually, the verses 46 and 47 describes the activities of a Kanishta, Majjhima, and Uttama Adhikari. So an Uttama Adhikari is the one who recognizes all devotees, and he recognizes all devotees as very elevated in Krishna consciousness. They recognize everyone as a servant of the Lord, and they worship and respect them because they are connected. So these are the qualities of a devotee to creating this network. So this principle is called bhakti habitat, or developing bhakti habits. So especially if one is preaching, then the first thing one needs to do, just let's say for example you're going to open a business, or you know you want to raise a family, you want to have a project, you first have to prepare yourself. You want to start a business, you just don't go and start. You need a location, you have to get equipment, you have to get all the facilities, the staff, whatever. So you got to prepare, all that has to come first. You have to prepare yourself. Like this first book of Satyut Maharaj, the first part of Srila Prabhupada's life is called A Lifetime of Preparation. So Srila Prabhupada spent 69 years, to prepare himself. And so similarly, we have to prepare. So this is called Bhakti Habitat, that we prepare ourselves by all these different aspects that surrounds us. Whatever facilities are there, we prepare, we perform our activities, purify ourselves, and recognize everyone with favor. So whenever someone comes, whenever an object comes into that web, we should be able to have all the ammunition and facilities to take care of those devotees, just like sometimes newcomers come to the temple. If they just come and go, come and no one attends to them, they just go. They make so much effort. You know, Krishna sends, and if we don't take care, then we're doing a disservice. So in that way, you know, a devotee prepares his life in this way, that by he performs service to other devotees, he recognizes, this is very vivid in the life of Maharaj Yudhisthira, that he himself was so captivated and so selfless that he gave his entire life for other devotees, for everyone else, even his enemies. So this is one way how he was able to capture the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, he said, don't try to see God, but act in such a way so that God sees you. So this is the thing about our activities, you know. And it's like it says that Sankirtan is actually the overflow of one's ecstasy. So in other words, first one has to absorb the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, and then that overflows when we share with others, when we preach, when we distribute books, we try to capture like that. So that's what it's all about. And Kunti Devi talked about that in this chapter, even in the song of Mirabai. Rida Jamuna Tukala Chakriya Prema Bolite Uja Shamala Sundara Shah. So this verse says that just like the Jamuna River that's overflowing with love for Krishna, and her waters overflows on the banks and purifies everyone else who is in that vicinity, similarly let my love for you flows in that way, so that not only she can purify ourselves, but we purify everyone else around. So this is an idea of how this spider web works. And on different practical levels, we've seen there's one example of when Danavi Maharaj was a brahmachari many years back in California. One big Mayavad sannyas came. He has followers and very big sannyasi. He came. And when he came, Danavir Adhikari at the time, he offered him all respects, all obeisances, put him to sit on a high seat. He sat on the ground. And he offered him everything, very worshipful, very all respects. And his person was shocked. He says, wait, you Hare Krishna people respect other sannyasis from other organizations? He said, yes, you're a sannyas, and the scripture says sannyas should be very, very in a worshipful and very sacred position. And then they started to talking. And when he understands the philosophy of Krishna consciousness from that short talk, from this bhakta, Danavir Prabhu, this big sannyas changed immediately. He said, now that I understand, he said, I was actually lost with what I was doing. He immediately gave up his sannyas life. He became a bhakta and joined the temple washing pots. He is now Amalabhakta Swami. Very popular. So that's just, you know, one example. So anyway, I would like to stop here. If anyone has any comments or questions. Or Mother Sukada?
Just an appreciation, really, of, you know, your class and some of the things you said. Like how Sankirtan is that overflowing of
one's
bhakti,
ecstasy.
I guess, and you just have so much of it, you want to share it. And also, I really love the story about Guru Prasad Swami. He, just a soldier amongst a lot of other soldiers, and he sees Srila Prabhupada, and then immediately pays his obeisances. I thought, wow, like, you know, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. It's like, there was all those other soldiers, you're like, oh, what are you doing? But somehow the he immediately knew, you know?
Yeah, I guess Srila Prabhupada said, he said, you don't have to come looking for a guru, you know, the guru comes looking for you. So, the guru came. Srila Prabhupada could have been so many places, you know, but he came there. So,
yeah.
All these things are directly Krishna's arrangement.
Yeah.
So, if you would like to share, as one of the senior devotees here, how you were captured in Krishna consciousness. You know, we know we are all captured by Srila Prabhupada, by so many different aspects, you know, by that web. Can you share yours?
How I became a devotee?
Yeah, how you were captured.
Oh, how I was captured?
Yeah.
It was, I guess, a lot of different things. Like, I was vegetarian already, and I was looking for a spiritual life, you know. I went to Colombia, and Mukya and her husband and I, we all thought, oh, we'd find some paradise, you know, and a nice, beautiful setting, and wherever you go, you're still in the material world. That's one thing about traveling, you know, because you think, oh, go here, go there, and we'll do so. But wherever you go, there's still, you know, three modes of material nature and all of that. So that wasn't so wonderful. And so I was also practicing yoga and met a lot of different yoga gurus, yoga teachers. But I started reading, actually, when I came back, Mukya and her husband come back first, and they were already going to the temple in Ann Arbor. It was a college town. So they picked us up at the airport when we came back, and they had an altar set up in their house. And, you know, it was like, wow, what is this? You know, so they gave me Bhagavad Gita, and it was just natural. And, like, we were all really looking. It was about eight of us who joined at the same time. You know, eight of our friends, you know, so we all just thought, okay, this is it, you know, so. That's basically.
Just see that power. Would like anyone else like to share theirs? Yeah. I know I was captured by Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. I never liked to read so much, but when I was given as a gift this soft bound Gita, which is one of the early days. And I just read a few pages and thought, you know, if the words can be so powerful, I would like to understand and learn about a person. So that's where I start learning about this person. And it became so very powerful. Glasses on that. So there was something here. Uh-oh. What did I do? Oh, this. So,
bottom,
the bottom one?
What's the other one?
Yeah, it says, there's a Varuna Prabhu says, I like that you said what you said about Purushottam month at beginning of class. You quoted Durvasa Muni and Narada Muni regarding importance of the month. I would like to hear what Srila Prabhupada said regarding this month when he was here on the planet. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada, you know, he said for 12 years every day, and he gave over 80 volumes of books. I don't know specifically what Srila Prabhupada talked about, but he always encourages, and this is one thing that's stated here, that one should do and give within his abilities, especially in this month. So that's one thing that, that came from, Srila Prabhupada. And he always encouraged devotees to practice the basics of Krishna consciousness. And if anyone has any ability to do more, and especially on these auspicious times, then they can, you know, they can do that as well. But as far as any particular quote, to be honest, I haven't researched that. See what exactly it says. So maybe if anyone else has any quotes from Srila Prabhupada on this, please share it. I don't have any in particular other than general statements that Srila Prabhupada said about these auspicious days, like for example even Ekadasi. You know, if one follow the basic Ekadasi, take Ekadasi Prasadam and so forth, that's good enough. Other than that, if one can fast, one can fast entirely, one can perform so many other austerities, benefits are there, but the basic at least we must do like that. So. Yeah, take the microphone.
Prabhupada mentioned, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exact sentence, he said that it is not the fasting and observing, it is that more absorption on hearing Krishna and chanting japa for this festival.
For this month?
Yeah. More chanting. This morning I was listening to Radhanath Maharaj's one lecture, and interesting the way, you know, Maharaj is such a loving, he does not quote too many slokas, but somehow or other he extracts the essence of the sloka without, I don't know how, but he said, if you follow this vrata nicely, it will magnify your devotion, which you could not finish in entire life. And then I find the sloka actually said the same thing, but the way he said it,
put it over.
It's like attracts the attention, you know, it's like, wow. It's like a very fascinating. Even Chaitanya Charan told me one time that he said, how Maharaj finds this, the way he said it, like it really draws his attention. You want to do it, you get affected by it.
So yes, very nice. Yes. Many times Srila Prabhupada said, he says, you know, like it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. And if the the purified force that you have behind it also. So, yeah, this month is special because there are no material reactions, there are no material weeds that grows with it. So you're very free. It's like a free bird flying in the air. You can go, sky's the limit. Whether with, unlike other times of the year, according to the standard of the material world, and there's so much things that captures and holds you back. This month there's nothing to hold you back, so there's an opportunity. So why not, you know, why not take advantage? So.
I appreciate you, in the beginning you mentioned about Durvasa Rishi. Because I thought about it a day before yesterday, that a lot of time we hear things, but we kind of have a mentality of challenging, do I need to follow? Then you hear Draupadi's suffering, that's exactly why she suffered. Of disrobing by Duryodhana, Dushasana. Because of this, because she did not believe what Durvasa said. But Durvasa Muni is kind, there is a friend of her father, Madhavi Rishi. But still, she said, okay, I forgive that you are, because you are daughter of my friend. But because you insulted me, I will not give you any bad reaction, but you insulted the Purushottam month, so you'll get some bad reaction. So something to learn from me, I reflect that okay, when we hear such type of importance, we may not take it like, you know, I'm chanting, I'm doing my best, why do I have to do? No, at least maintain the respect that Krishna is saying, the scripture is saying. Otherwise, there is a bad reaction. It's just a scary.
Yeah, that's why it's important that one offer full surrender to the spiritual master. Because one may not know, even to the point where the spiritual master pointed to a rope and said, that's a snake, a disciple should accept. And the next minute he switches his mind, he said, no, that's a rope, a disciple should immediately accept. The idea is that the guru understand and realize all these objects of what you're just saying. A disciple may or may not. So if a disciple surrenders fully to the guru, then he automatically joins that link and he gets free from all those reactions as well. So that's the secret of the process. Surrender.
And also, Giriraj Maharaj has one nice point in his book. He writes that Prabhupada told him to do something and some or other he could not finish it. And the next visit, Prabhupada said, "So, have you done? Have you finished this?" And Giriraj Maharaj said, "No, Prabhupada, I'm sorry. Kamal Krishna Maharaj engaged me with his pendle program. I kind of like got so busy I could not do the service he asked." Then Prabhupada asked him, "Did you try to ignore and forgetting, or you actually like could not do it?" That's a very nice scientific way. And then Giriraj Maharaj replied that, no, I did not, this. I want to do it, Prabhupada, it's just that I could not find time to do it. So when we hear this kind of instruction, you should chant extra round. Oh my God, I cannot even finish my regular round. This may come in our head. But I like the way Prabhupada mentioned that because you did not disrespect my instruction, and then he said, I also had the same problem when my Guru Maharaj Bhakti Siddhanta gave in 1922. I did not ignore it, I did not try to avoid it, but I could not do it at that time. I maintained that respect. So if I can, it is like a natural attitude. We are talking about inner, bhakti is inner journey. But if we can maintain the favorable attitude, then there is no offense. If I have a busy casual, I'm not saying everybody has easy life. I mean, I don't have easy life either. Even though I retire, but from 2 o'clock I'm here still. I'm still busy. So busy life is there. We're not saying that you have to adapt it and do it right away. But don't disrespect. That's all.
So that's the important thing. If you keep that in mind, just like Srila Prabhupada kept his guru's instruction in mind. It took him from 1922 to 1965, 43 years to execute that instruction. He never forgot it. I know. I personally also have that challenge when I got initiated. It was 11 of us got initiated, and everybody else, my Guru Maharaj, ask them to repeat the four regulated principles and give them their names. And I wasn't the number 11th, I was somewhere in between number 8 or number 6, 7, something. So everyone going up, and after me, everyone else was the same thing. He asked to repeat the four regulated principles and you promised to chant 16 rounds. When he came to me, I had to answer a few more questions. And I had to make a few more promises. One of that promise was that I'll always take an interest in the preaching of where I was at the time in Essequibo. That I should always have in Essequibo, in Guyana, in that part of that county, that I must always show a particular interest. And I had to promise that at my initiation. From then to now, I'm always pondering. And now, that is manifesting after I don't know how many years. But it is now manifesting where I have to take some responsibility there. So, these things happen.
These are nice. Yeah. Also, another point I thought about is an interesting point that, you, Guru Maharaj, gave you instruction. When Krishna instructs us, surrender, I'll protect you. When we are trying to surrender, we do not need to look for protection, because protection is already built in.
Yeah.
The instruction. So when Guru gives instruction, only willingness to do it is required from us. As for the facility and all this result and whatever it is, it's already there. And the good example, if somebody put a logic, how is that? It's 11:33 Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said, I already put them into death. So Krishna already has the result of the law. Why do we
Yeah, that's very clear. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Stated there. The results are there. Everything is already assigned. Everything is there. Now, we can take the credit or not.
Yes.
Just like here, like with Srila Prabhupada, he gave his entire Krishna consciousness movement. As a matter of fact, I had a dream of that one time. You know, like when I first moved to this community, the night before Janamashtami, I would always get a dream of Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
And then one time I mentioned to one of our managers, since then I never had a dream again. Anyway, one of that dreams was that Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, they were sitting on either side of the altar. And they were preaching. So then I approached Srila Prabhupada and asked, you know, why do you have to do this? There's so many people all over. He said that this preaching would go on even if myself and my Guru Maharaj have to do it ourselves. So therefore, it's in your benefit to participate and enjoy the ecstasy. Yeah, like that. So I always remember that. I don't know where that came from, but by that I understand that Srila Prabhupada is always here preaching along with us, or with any activities, he's always here. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granted Raj Madhagatam ki jai.